The building was situated in the eastern sector of Durringham, 500 meters from the dumper which housed the governor's office. It was a Class 0506B office suitable for Phase 1 colonies and non-capital missions tropical, a programmed silicone structure made by the Lunar S2. It had arrived on Lalonde in a cubic container 5 meters to a side. The fleet marine engineers who activated it had to sink corner foundations 15 meters deep into the loam in order to secure it against the wind. The silicone walls might have been as strong as mayop, but they were only as thick as paper. It was terribly vulnerable to even mild gusts, and given Lalonde's temperature, there was some speculation that warm air accumulating inside might actually provide sufficient lift to get it airborne. There were 50 Confederation Navy staff assigned to Lalonde, officers, NCOs, and ratings, who ate, worked, and slept inside. The most active department was the recruitment center, where 15 permanent staff dealt with youngsters who shared Marie Skibo's opinion of their world, but lacked her individual resourcefulness. Enlistment offered a golden ticket off-planet, away from the rain, the heat, and the remorseless physical labor of the farms. Every time Ralph Hilch walked through the wide, automated entrance doors and breathed in clean, dry, conditioned air, he felt just that fraction closer to home. Back in a world of right angles, synthetic materials, uniforms, humming machinery, and government-issue furniture. A pretty rating, barely out of her teens, was waiting to escort him from the entrance hall, where all the farm boy and girl hopefuls were queuing in their hand-stitched shirts and mud-stained denim trousers. He opened his lightweight cagoule and shook some of the rain from it as she escorted him up the stairs and into the security zone of the second floor. Lieutenant Commander Kelvin Solanke was waiting for Ralph Hilch in his large corner office. A career officer who had left his Polish ethnic world of Mazowiecki, he was 47. A narrow-faced man with a lean build, several centimeters shorter than Ralph, with thick raven-black hair trimmed to a regular 1 centimeter. His dark blue port uniform fitted well, although he'd left the jacket on the back of his desk chair. Ralph was given a genuinely warm handshake when he came in, and the rating was dismissed. She saluted smartly and closed the door. Kelvin Solanke's welcoming smile faded considerably as he gestured Ralph to the imitation leather settee. "Who's going to start?" He hung his cagoule on the edge of the settee and leaned back. "We're on your home territory, so I'll tell you what I know first." "Okay." Kelvin sat on the chair opposite. "First, Joshua Calvert and the Lady Macbeth. Stunning though it appears, he is actually genuine as far as we can make out. I've got an inside track. My secretary, Marie, is running a deal for him, so she's keeping a strong tab on him for me. He's bought a 10,000 tons of mayop, got himself an export license, and he's loading the stuff into his starship as fast as the McBoeing he hired can boost it into orbit. He's made no attempt to get in touch with any known fence. He didn't bring any cargo down in his own space plane, legal or illegal, and he'll be gone tomorrow." Kelvin found he was more interested in the independent trader captain than the situation really required. "He's genuinely transporting timber to another star?" "Yes, to Norfolk, apparently, which, given their import restrictions, isn't quite as insane as it sounds. They may just have a use for it with their pastoral tech. I haven't decided if he's an idiot or a genius. I'd love to know how he gets on." "Me too. But he isn't quite the innocent you think he is. The Lady Macbeth has an antimatter drive unit, and my last general security file update from Avon carried a report that he was intercepted by a Navy Voidhawk a couple of months back. Fleet intelligence was convinced he was trying to smuggle prescribed technology. They actually watched the units being loaded into his cargo bay. Yet, when the Voidhawk captain searched his ship, nothing. So it doesn't look like he's an idiot." "Interesting. He's not due to leave until tomorrow, so he might still try something. I'll keep him under close observation. Will you?" "I have been keeping a quiet eye on Captain Calvert since his arrival, and I'll continue to do so. Now, the Qualheim County situation, I don't like it at all. We've been reviewing the images the Chief Sheriff's Observation Satellite has been downloading this morning, and the trouble is spreading into Willow West County. There are several burnt-out buildings in the villages, evidence of fighting, and the fields are being ignored.